This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
So before we get to this heat situation here, let people know that we do have tickets to give away for tomorrow's game. So,
what's the heat situation? You scared the hell out of me. It's back-to-back
thing,
games?
The 15 minutes of heat.
Oh, okay. Well,
I probably shouldn't have called it a situation. Anyway, we
hey, Woody, it sounded better than you having Messi just showing up and standing there in the corner like Jimmy Butler did for two games.
I don't know. I think it's a different
damn
situation.
Damn, speaking of Jimmy Butler.
God. Yeah, he's playing well, huh?
God, I hate you, Jimmy Butler.
That stings. I thought you liked the Warriors. What is this?
I don't like him. I'm not sure I like Steph Curry anymore.
Come on, dude.
Steph Curry now, all of a sudden, he gets Jimmy Butler, and he looks like he's playing like he's 25 years old. If you notice, like every night, he's like hitting like 7 of 13 on threes.
He's rejuvenated.
And, yeah, everybody apparently. Jimmy. Draymond's not hurt as much.
They're drinking the coffee.
And Jimmy Butler had 25 last night. And, of course, that's one of my, just check the score.
If they make a playoff run, that would be...
Make a playoff
that
run?
That would be tough to watch.
They're already in the top six spots. They're moving up.
I know.
And the only story better in Golden State right now, if there is one, is the Lakers are also...
That's not a good story.
The Luka.
That's a team that benefited from the worst trade in the history of sports.
Boy, it looks worse every day, doesn't it? Now I see
the Mavericks.
Mark Cuban's coming out and said, I tried to get to him. It was too late. Called the GM. I said, I know I'm not in charge. I sold it. I got my $3 billion. But as a fan and a guy that's been involved and still has a little piece of the team, this is a really bad move. And he goes, too late. We're making the move. By the way, that guy will not last long. As a general manager.
Nico.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell his name. It doesn't matter what his name
he's
is.
He's going to be Deco pretty soon. He's going to be Deco gone.
That's not a great story, though. It's nice to see LeBron as someone to play with, I guess. But
They're a lot better than
anybody
thought.
The Golden State story, that's...
That's a good story.
I do like Steph. It's tough to dislike Steph.
No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, I know. I know you still love the Warriors. You just had to come around on Jimmy. You're a little bit scorned right now because Jimmy screwed you down.
All of a sudden, and Jimmy ends up on my friggin' team I grow up watching, you know?
You think if he would have given him the contract in the offseason, he would have just played like
this? Jeff Mullins, Rick Barry, Nate Thurman, Al Addles. God, and now I got Jimmy Butler.
He's good.
It really hurt if they go on and win the whole thing. I don't think it's going to happen, but he gets them to the finals, and I'm like, damn. And we got to just, we can say whatever we want, but It would sting a little bit.
They're just, not going just to, a little I don't think bit. They're going to the finals, no. But they might make a playoff run. But you didn't even answer my question. Like, do you think if the Heat would have given him the contract in the offseason, like you wanted,
I don't know.
Would this have been?
I don't know.
Or would he have still honestly, dogged it down?
I don't know. I don't know where he has it because Jimmy's about. It was about time was up, and you know he.
We lost his joy.
Lost his joy and whatever else he says that
he's found.
All of a sudden, got back and he's enjoying himself again. By the way, we got a lot of stuff. Phones about that time, man. GMs and agents starting to warm up that phone, talking. You can start negotiating contracts on Monday. And when I hear that, there's this area called light gray or dark gray that's going to happen starting probably, it's already started. I think it started at the Combine, where you're warming everybody up to your clients and teams are going, we're interested in your client and all that stuff that's taking place. And so this weekend, you should start hearing things. I got to get to one guy specifically. I'm really torn on this one before I get into it. Javon Holland. There are now reports that Javon Holland's got a lot of teams interested in him. He's young. Has not been very productive numbers-wise for numbers important to safeties the last 2 years. First 2 years, pretty darn good. I thought as a rookie he was unbelievable. Got a lot out of him. They're talking about this guy getting between 15 and 20 million a year. There's been different teams, the Jets, the Panthers, the Titans have all been teams that some of them have been mentioned that looking for a young safety, and believe if they get him in his system, if he plays in their system, they can get more out of him because he can do a lot of different things. He can cover, he can blitz. He's got, I think, 5 interceptions in his career. The problem, and some people, Bo and I go back and forth on this, and I said, Bo, man, he just off of what he's done. I know he is salty about his contract, but I thought if he was salty that he didn't get the new contract when they were passing him out last year before the season started, I thought, and maybe it's old school thinking, I'm going to show them I'm going to have a great year and then flip them off and I'm going somewhere else and get paid. And or I'm going to force you guys to give me a big contract. And he didn't do it. He had, you know, it's funny. I think you remember Woody, his one play that in first game of the year, he has one of the great plays of the season. They're going in to score. It's probably going to be ball game. And he comes over at about the, 2 or 3 yard line, forces a fumble. Dolphins recover it and go on to the whole game flips around. Dolphins finish it out with a big fourth quarter, get the big comeback. And that was the play. His forced fumble was the biggest play in the game. I know Tyreek Hill had a big long catch and run for a touchdown, but the play that really, you're going to lose that game. You're going to lose your opener against Jacksonville, who ended up being a terrible team. He ends up with 62 sacks, 62 tackles, 1 sack, and 1 forced fumble. That was his play of the season. And I like Javon, and I think Javon's got – I'm always amazed when I watch him and when he makes those plays and he takes a 99-yard interception and runs it back for a touchdown against the Jets. And I'm like a lot of people. I go, man, this guy, he can cover. If you're shorthanded, he can play in a slot and cover and you don't miss much. I mean, he's got all this physical talent. And I get why teams are interested in him. But I just don't see the numbers. They're not there. And so I know the Dolphins have said we'd like to have him back, but not at what he's going to get on the open market.
That number is pretty high. So you're saying let him walk.
You got to let him walk. Yeah, and that one, you can dogpile on Chris Greer for a zillion things. I can help you. But letting Javon Holland or telling Javon, I mean, I can hear nice Chris Greer doing this saying, hey, we really like you, but you're going to get some big offers on the open market. And trying to get him, and at the same time telling his agent, look at the numbers and look at the other safeties' numbers. Look at the starting safeties for the Rams. They're rookies. One's a rookie free agent, the other one's a third round pick, and they had 4 interceptions each. So I understand, I do, in this situation, but they're saying he might get up to $80 million contract with more than $40 million guaranteed. God bless him. I'm not a hater. But Javon is not going to be here. And I don't know how everybody feels. I got a lot of people in my life going, Joe, he's really, you can't let him go, man. He is.
A lot of people are saying that.
Going, hey, that's on the team to put him in better situations, to make more plays. And I knew last year, I don't know, he.
Well, wasn't he the one that cried the most about Fangio?
So, he was up there. He and Jalen Ramsey was right. Pretty close.
Didn't he post a little video afterwards, a kick in the rocks or whatever?
Yes. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And then I think he congratulated Vic and said, hey, old coach there.
Maybe
still
you
pretty
were right.
Good. Maybe you're on to something. Yeah, it was a bad look for Javon. It was, and everybody thought, hey, listen, I run stuff. I don't need your ideas. I've got ideas of my own, and I think I'm the best at what I do. And Vic, those guys didn't have a problem with him this year because they went out and had the number one defense in the NFL.
So what, like, approach are you taking this offseason if you're the Dolphins, right? Because they know it's a one-year deal here. That's the problem is you're not building towards the future. You got to go they're trying to keep their jobs, right?
Yes. Yes. No matter what they say.
No, they're in survival mode.
I mean, they seriously, and they can say, hey, we can't worry, but we got to do what's best for the team. But when they go home at night.
This is save my ass mode, yeah.
The conversation changes. I totally agree with everybody that's been saying this.
That's why I think the draft is so irrelevant for this team. Like, and I know you disagree, and you're right. But I think these guys just got to look at this like we got to plug these holes and
Woody,
save ourselves here.
Woody.
No matter how bad it sets this thing up in the
Woody,
future.
No. And I've told you why. You just can't go out and have a team full of 30. You can't go out and it's impossible.
But if you were trying to save your job.
Woody, you know what you do to save your job? You go out and draft well. You draft well in a system where your coaches can coach them up. That's what you need to do. Chris Greer is forced this year. Forced. This is the most he's had, draft picks. He's got to make this work. He has got to make this work through the draft. This free agent thing that's going to start, because the draft's not for a while, it'd be nice to get some nice pieces, and maybe they're going to spend $10,000, $11,000, $12,000, $13,000 on a player or two, but they got to do it through the draft. We can talk about all this stuff. Listen, we went back and gave this thing to Chris Greer. This is just a fact. 2020 and 2021, we gave Chris Greer 5 number one picks and 4 number two picks. That's a lot of high friggin' picks, folks. Throw in a couple of threes in there.
Sound like Jeff Ireland.
And we haven't been able to flip it around for a lot of reasons, from injury. We've lost some guys already. Robert Hunt's really good, but no, he was too expensive. We've had some of that. We're going to lose Javon for whatever. He most likely is not going to come back. And honestly, out of those picks, we haven't been able to get a superstar. Tua's got the injury bug. He's part of that thing. The big thing was to go for it. We got to hit on a lot of these picks, and we did not hit on a lot of these picks. And that is 100% on Chris Greer. That is, they put Chris Greer in charge of those drafts, and some pretty high picks in there, and not all his fault when guys get injured and that stuff, but it just so you're playing catch up, man. But you got to do it through the draft. It's got to be through the draft. We'll have Omar Kelly on
a
little bit later.
Jeff this morning.
We got fours, fives, and sixes.
Right.
What we need is threes, twos, and ones.
Yeah.
And I got to find out, we have to find out who those threes, twos, and ones are if we have any of those guys.
By the way, that's in camp he said that. That's summer camp when the dumbest comment ever made by general manager Jeff Ireland, who continues to be assistant GM.
He's doing a good job. Can I ask you just really quick, just to clarify this, Javon Holland, how is he in the locker room? Because everyone seems to have their opinion. They're all in the locker room, so.
I'm not there.
Okay. You had a major hesitation.
I did.
You. I feel like you maybe don't want to say anything.
No, I don't mind.
Okay.
Because I've heard both.
Okay.
I do know when he didn't get that money, the personality changed a little bit.
Mm.
What did everybody say when they dished out money to Ramsey and Tyreek Hill at the Brighton game, those big extensions to make him the highest paid player? They left one guy out.
Yeah, they did.
And he was pissed. Like, let's be honest, he was pissed. It changed everything a little bit. The question was he going to ball out and show these MFers and screw you and, hey, Chris Greer, stay out of my face. I don't even want to see you and just go about his business. Like, and go, I'm going to play my ass off and somebody's going to pay me. Well, somebody is going to pay him. But it's a great question, by the way. And I don't know how he was. I think he's a pretty good teammate. But I got to tell you, man, I have seen him play with guys that didn't get that new contract. And things change a little bit. Things change a little bit, you know, especially when everybody – hey, man, everybody else in the fifth grade class gets a candy bar and they forget about your kid. All right? Everybody on Valentine's Day got the nice big basket of I love you little hearts. Except one kid. He's pissed. He's hurt. And that's what happened. And I don't know what they said to him. I have no idea. Only they know for sure. But that, by the way, that is the question of the day. And I don't know for sure except the things that I hear. He was great with me.
I got a juicy follow-up for you, but we'll do it on the other side if you don't mind.
Yes, we got to go to break here.
I got someone sent in a really good question, and I do want to hit you with this.
Yeah.
When we get back, as far as players stepping in and making impacts and all that stuff, so I'll ask you that when we come back.
Yeah, man, we got a little bit of everything. Matter of fact, the overnight guy coming in here this morning was on Tua, called out Tua. You know, played 11 games and won 1-4 against playoff teams. The Rams win was all he had, and he played. He played in, I think, all the teams that we played in the playoffs. He played in all those games.
They're talking about the narrative overnight.
Yeah.
Damn, the narrative, bro.
Yeah, no, it came, and that came from wherever you're doing that show. That wasn't
even. How much
do
you hate that word? Where does that rank in your things that you dislike with the Dolphins? I know too deep really bothers you.
Got tired. We burn words. I've noticed when Mike McDaniel throws a word out, then the team picks up on it, usually Tua, and then it spreads. Have you noticed?
Yes, I have.
I mean, they got so stuck up, they'll stuck on too deep that. And by the way, I thought it was just me, and then I hear all my former teammates going, do you hear that sneaking too deep? Said, you wouldn't have been in the league if it wasn't for too deep. I go, yeah, it's a good
you
point.
You and Bo need like a ranking of the things that bother you the most now.
Narrative
right up kills there. You.
Hey, we got to go
those
to break
practices
here.
I know grind your guys' gears pretty good too.
Only when you don't win.
Hey, they win in practice.
Hey, man, Bill Walsh. I told you, Bill Walsh wasn't practicing back when everybody was killing each other, and he's over there in shorts and T-shirts. But when you have Ronnie Lott and those guys, it's a little different situation. Atlantic Men's Clinic. Oh, it's Friday. I called Atlantic Men's Clinic Day, ED and low T. Boy, I'll tell you what. I love going in there. Love getting my checkup and getting checked out. And about once a month, they test you to make sure you're doing everything the safe way, the right way, and getting the best results. It's part of why if you're going through low T and ED right now, if you're tired all the time, you're moody, you're grouchy, and you have no energy, and you got no sex drive either, and your wife's looking real good, and you're just going, honey, you look real good. I'm going to bed now. Good night. Boy, I'll tell you something, man. It sucks. And I went through it a year ago. I did. I had a bad. Not a little bit. Full-blown. Both ways. And I did go to Atlantic Men's Clinic, and I got great results. I did the PSA test, all the testing they do, sat down with them. They wanted to know everything. You got to tell them the truth. You want to get great results, you're going to meet with their professionals, and they're going to have a game plan for you, put you on the program, and you'll have great results quickly. That's what I tell you. I'm not talking like that day, but within a few weeks, you really start to notice a big difference. You do. And they have 6 locations in South Florida to serve you. We're going to have more on the way. 877-455-7300. Set up that first appointment. 877-455-7300 or visit AtlanticMensClinic.com.
All right. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Welcome back in a happy Friday with a lot. Hey, Panthers trade deadline. Hell, who knows, man? Bill Zito may not be done. Hell, he might sneak another guy in there as they've already picked up a few players and kind of being at the game last night. Everybody's going around going, hey, man, this Matthew Tkachuk thing, because everybody's aware of the fact that he can be back for the playoffs. And hey, you think it's going to happen, or is this injury a little more serious than everybody thought, and they're going to have to play the rest of the year without him? Because honestly, it's hard to imagine they could win a championship without Matthew Tkachuk once you start playing the best teams in the playoffs. But I got to tell you, man, without him, they are playing. They're just – that team they played last night had no shot to win that game. Hell, they couldn't get quality shots. That game was totally dominated by the Panthers. Big Bob gets a shutout. I had to look twice. I think he only had 16 saves in the game. I'm like, they're getting 5 shots a crazy.
They want to put on a good performance for you.
Man, I'll tell you what.
Get out the line.
And you know something? Nobody leaves till that thing's over.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah, make sure the bet's cash.
What's wrong with you? You just got cold.
What? I was saying that's why.
People are like fans are just they
the
appreciate
empty net or goal. You know, you get the anytime point.
Little Barkov in there, maybe, but at the same time, they're playing really well. They're not sitting there pouting because one guy that's really good and kind of the face of the team is out. Big Bob's playing his ass off, and Barkov and Reinhardt. You can just go on, and some really good young players to go with it. And they just get guys that fit in the system, man. The system that they play, the way they play. A lot of fights last night, so everybody was fired up to. I like the fights too, man. I know some of the new today crowd, like, I don't like the fighting.
More of a peaceful newer crowd.
But, yeah, man, they got after it.
It's old school, right?
Yeah, but seems to me most of the people who go to those games like a little fighting. Kind of gets the team going a little bit, and checks get a little bit harder.
So now we don't have time to get that question in here. Maybe we could start the 7 o'clock hour with that question I wanted to ask you, but I will just follow this up as we hit the break here. I will ask you, 305 says, who craps his pants more this time of year, Joe Harold Rose or Chris Greer?
Oh, I got to tell you, I can't imagine Chris is having a lot of dinners with his wife at night out on the road. I'm guessing he's not going out to he needs to be zoned in.
Why
man.
Not? If I were that guy, I'd be living it up, man.
Free agency.
He's basically got immunity. And you and I were just talking during the break. Like, I would think
tell him what you just said to me out there.
I told you I think that this thing would have to go absolutely off the rails for those guys to get fired. Like, this season would have to be a complete and utter disaster for them to get fired. If they're anywhere near 500, I don't think anything moves.
They better be on the right side of 500, though.
Well, that's true. You can't be 500 anymore. So
it'll be on the right
you
side.
You want to be on the right
side. Yeah, the 9-8, not the
8-9. I don't think it matters. I think anything in that range,
I think it does, man.
Because I think Ross is, he just doesn't want to do it again.
I think it's already.
I think Ross has another rebuild in him, to be quite honest. Do you?
I know he
wants to hire a new coach?
No, I don't.
New GM,
no, obviously.
Start from scratch?
Obviously, no. We just saw it.
I think that's your issue.
They had that press release ready to go.
Joe, I hate to say this, but if they had a younger owner, don't they make some changes?
And must have had that thing done like 2 weeks early.
Yeah, but if they had a younger owner, a guy who was like, all right, we're going to plan for the next 10 years, don't you think they made some changes this offseason?
I don't know,
season
man.
Season was rough, man.
I would love
that
to
That season
have...
was rough, and it does seem like those guys lost control of the locker room to an extent.
So, you know what I really want to do? And I'm just sharing this out loud, and I've had this. I'd really like to have a meeting with Tom Garfinkel, and I am going to have a meeting with Tom Garfinkel anyway, but I would just like, just tell me what I'm missing, because we can go through this whole thing together, and Tom's great CEO, what he's doing and what he's done for the value of the team and the piece of property and all the events, including my favorite, the Miami Open, coming up here in a couple weeks. But
I don't think Dolphin fans want to hear about
don't.
Man.
And so, but I'm like everybody else, man. I saw it and I was really disappointed. I saw the release, and Bo, of course, couldn't wait to show me, to try to get me all juiced up before I got on the plane. And I was just like, wow, not even think about it, not reevaluate everything that we've done the last 4 or 5 years. It wasn't just about this year. It was about...
But you were right the whole time. You said you didn't think there would be any changes. You were right. And I think you have a good pulse on that team, because, again, like, Ross does not want to do that. You're talking about a multi-year rebuild those guys.
Let me tell you what I went by. We're just opening up here. Looks like this is it for me. I went by his relationship with Chris and their interaction when you see him at games, and it wasn't where, you know, sometimes when things aren't going well, people start to distance themselves a little bit, or, you know, when your friendship's not as good, you can tell, or there's a fight in the family, people act a little different, or your team's not playing the way you thought they would and you were led to believe when you put out all that friggin' money, and you're going, you know. And he just never changed. He never changed course with I get there early. I'm sitting there watching. And I got where I watched that. That was one of the things I like to watch. Chris coming on the field to meet the owner. And I went and I came in. I told Woody, I go, Woody, that's same group coming back, man. Whatever they're saying, or we're close, or we'll be healthier, or whatever. And so they've got to be damn near perfect in free agency and development of this draft into their system. And I've said this over and over. I think they have a great coaching staff. I really do. I got some of my all-time favorite coaches that I've watched individually. So the O-line wasn't as good last year. I think their offensive line coach is really, really good. I do. I think he's really good. I think D-line coach is really good. They got some really, really good coaches. Went out and got some darn good ones. But anyway, we got more to get to. I got a lot more in this stuff to get to here. This may not end up being going real well today for people listening that are in sports. Hey, right now, before we get to the 7 o'clock hour, hurricane season is right around the corner. You need to protect your home with Loctite Impact windows, doors, and roofing. They can do it for you. They do it all, by the way. Oh, if you got an old leaky roof and you're going, well, I'm gonna wait. I'm going to hold on. Hopefully the big one doesn't hit me. I can, you know, save. Replace your old roof now and pay later. How's that sound? Loctite Impact offers the highest quality roofing materials with lifetime warranty plus thousands of five-star reviews. You can see what people are saying about them. Say big on the legendary state-of-the-art Impact windows and doors. Impact windows as low as $3 per window per month installed. Don't wait for the storm. Visit LoctiteImpact.com. Get started with them. Find out more about them. Hell, walk over there. Run over there and see what they got going on. They're in West Broward covering all of South Florida for you. That's LoctiteImpact.com. LoctiteImpact.com or call 954-500-LOCK today.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Taste of some of these big guys coming out hitting them. Like, all right, you think you're going to run around our guy? How about if you get a little taste of Landon Dickerson coming right down your throat?
We'll throw it to Ayuk inside, touchdown. Samuel leading the way. Ayuk comes inside of him.
All right, there's nothing like a Friday in a 9 o'clock hour. I don't know what your hours are, but nothing like that last hour on a Friday. And getting those plans, this beautiful weather, to take advantage of it, man. Cool off a little bit here. If you don't like sweating, this looks like it's a day for you.
Can I hit you with this story here?
Yeah, hit it, please.
So if you're having a bad week, you could be this guy. There is a $10 million reward for information leading to the arrest of a former Olympic snowboarder from Canada who is wanted for allegedly running a multinational drug trafficking network and orchestrating multiple murders related to the drug ring.
Ooh, man, that's old school. That's the old cartel stuff.
I told you you would like this story. The FBI added 43-year-old Ryan Wedding to its 10 most wanted list Thursday, while also announcing the U.S. State Department's $10 million offer.
What is it, cocaine? Or are they saying what?
It's
a hell of a drug.
Here, the quote here, this is a funny quote, says, Wedding went from shredding powder on the slopes at the Olympics to distributing powder cocaine on the streets of U.S. cities and in his native Canada.
Wow.
The alleged murders of his competitors make Wedding a very dangerous man. Among his aliases, according to the FBI, are El Jefe, Public Enemy, and James Conrad King. Wedding was charged in June with murder and drug crimes.
Ooh, man. God, that's right out of the cartel movies from the 80s and late 70s into the 80s.
That was part of an indictment that alleged Wedding and others arranged for the shipment of 60 tons of cocaine a year using long-haul semi-trucks to move the drugs between Colombia, Mexico, Southern California, and Canada.
It's amazing how they're still getting that stuff in. Watching these shows, still amazing.
U.S. authorities allege the group killed two members of a family in Canada in retaliation for a stolen drug shipment.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
Officials there said was a case of mistaken identity.
Jeez.
As well as two other people.
Would he stop?
Wedding finished 24th in the parallel giant slalom at the 2002 Olympics.
Wow. Giant slalom, yeah.
That's crazy.
Slalom's the downhill.
Wow, that's a crazy one, Woody. Man, that's a hell of a way to start a 9 o'clock hour right there.
If you're
there.
Having a bad day, you could be that guy.
Yeah, he'll be running.
I would think.
They'll catch him sooner or later. They catch all of them.
You got to do some badass stuff to end up on the FBI's 10 most wanted.
Yeah, you
list,
get
right?
on that list, you think? No, that's a
good list. That's you're a criminal. That's the best of the best, right?
That's different level.
Yeah.
You are the kingpin right there, man. That's
do you
crazy
like his nicknames?
Stuff. Yeah, they're all right.
El Jefe and Public Enemy.
Listen, man, no matter what you do, you're never going to be some of the greats of Mexico and Colombia. Come on, man. Those guys are legendary, man.
I just pulled it up. So there he is. He's on there. The FBI has, like, if you go, you just Google 10 most wanted fugitives.
Yeah.
There's a nice-looking girl on here.
Somebody will turn him in.
Who is this?
Hey, somebody will turn him in. Don't you worry. That will happen. Hey, Mike Florio from Pro Football.
I'm sorry, Jay. I got to figure out what this girl did here.
All right. Well, can you do it privately without sharing something I can't see? Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk's going to...
Wire fraud and money laundering.
Going to join us up here and... Yeah, I don't know. If you watch all those shows, at this point, with all the technology, they go after you. You can only run and hide so long. They'll find you. They found all the guys.
$5 million for this
cocaine
girl.
Cowboys. They finally found them all. They found them. They don't stop looking. They'll get you.
But it has to do with cryptocurrency.
Well, that's anything. All right, you done? You're popping in the story, you done? Or are you with me now?
No,
or
I'm not with you. I'm intrigued by this.
Okay. Well, listen, why don't you take
it home? Picture of this girl?
No. Right. Why don't you just wait, and you can show your wife when you get home today, and you guys can really focus in on that with the kids. That'll be a good one for you. Hey, we've got Mike going to join us. We got a lot of stuff to talk to him about. This should be... You look forward to different dates on this NFL stuff. They've done a great job of this. They really have. And I give them credit, this free agency thing, and now the trades, and guys aren't happy, and they want out of their deal, and guys are asked, and guys are going to be cut because they make too much money, didn't play up to their contracts last year, all the different groups that's going to go. But I want to say this one more time, and we don't talk a lot about Inter Miami, and I like those guys. It's a great story what they've done, getting Messi down here, and some of his Barcelona buddies and what they've done, and they have some other talent on the team. They have some really good MLS talent, young talent on this team. But they must know, more than we know, that a lot of people are going to those games to see Messi. It's a birthday gift. For kids, they want to go see Messi a little bit and say, by the way, he's the greatest player. He was the greatest player in the world. Not now. He was the greatest player in the world. He's one of the greatest of all times, if not the greatest. But this thing, they got to figure something out because they are pissing more people off right now that think he's going to play. I don't even care about the road. I don't care about Houston. I don't care if he doesn't play in any of the road games. But you better make sure his ass plays at home games. You can't have him missing games at home. And I'm not saying he's got to play the whole game.
You can't do that.
What?
You can't prioritize home games.
Yes, you can.
He just played in Houston, or he didn't play.
He didn't play. He didn't play the last two.
But
he needed
to
rest.
Why prioritize home games? That sounds a little piggish.
Here's the other thing.
Like, those fans in those other markets aren't paying big bucks
to see
him? I
don't care about those other fans. I care about our fans being able to see him.
That's very selfish of you.
And not only that, but it's more importantly for the Moss family because they're starting to get blasted now. Everything works up to ownership. After a while, they're going, man, you guys look, bring this guy in. We don't know when he's playing.
I don't think it's their call. I don't think they handle the day-to-day.
I know, but there's people blaming them.
It's not their fault. Hey, man, if anything, those guys should be.
They blame Stephen Ross when we scored 10 points in a game.
Well, that's just because the Dolphins are a dumpster fire. But those guys should be, the Moss brothers should be applauded for what they did with that team. They made, relatively irrelevant league, incredibly relevant, right?
They went
on a national scale.
They talked about it for 3 years, and they finally did
they
it.
They did it.
They got Messi here.
They got the stadium. I told you they made
done.
Some progress on that thing.
Yep.
But the league itself has handled Messi very poorly,
well,
I think, from the
we
beginning.
We need to all
right?
get together, whoever it is, and come up with something. You can't
it's
think
not them.
You're going to a game, and little Johnny and his friends are all thinking they're going to get to see Messi and take a picture on the field of them, and and he's not playing. And it's a healthy scratch. It's bad now. He's going to be injured. He's 30. What is he, 37 now? He's going to be injured. He's going to get hurt. He's not going to be able to play every
game. He doesn't play full speed.
All right. Hey, listen. Why's your answer to everything go half-ass? That's your answer to everything.
I'm part of the Jimmy Butler generation.
Yeah, I know you
are.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah, you don't care about anything except.
It could be on the Dolphins.
Different deal. No, don't say that. They play harder than you do. Hey, right now, I want to take a second here. We got Mike Florio going to join us coming up here. But first, spring baseball right to the opener, right around the corner, man. Mark your calendars. Baseball's back on March 27th when they face off against the Pirates. And you've never seen an opening day like this before. It's Martin's Baseball infused with the best of 305 to create opening day. Get ready for the hottest fiesta in Miami featuring the biggest names on and off the field. South Florida legend Dan Marino kicks off the fiesta with a historic first pitch. And then he's going to throw a couple of takeoffs to the outfielders. Get ready to celebrate Sandy's comeback season. And stay tuned for surprise icons lighting up the postgame concept. This is a can't-miss global event. And it's happening right here in Miami. Don't miss the biggest party of the season. It's right around the corner. The whole world is invited to get your tickets for opening day. Do it today. Go to Marlins.com/tickets.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody. Man, I can't wait for this weekend because we're going to start getting more news on trades and guys getting cut to free up more money. And now the new permission to seek trade list that's out there that's going on. And then, of course, free agency right around the corner. And I'm telling you, if you're not going to it, you need to go to Pro Football Talk because Mike Florio and his staff really keep you up on everything as we bring in Mike. And, hey, Mike, I got to tell you, the Combine stuff you guys did was great. I thought the Super Bowl stuff was good. I thought the Combine was even better with the amount of interviews you guys were able to get.
Well, thank you. And I'm sorry I missed you last week. I didn't know what the schedule was going to be Friday morning.
No problem.
And then, boom. I mean, we were sitting down with Cam Ward just as they were calling me up. So we had Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Ashton Jenny last week. We did 47 interviews Super Bowl week. And I said Monday of last week before we went to Indy, there's no way we're going to be doing another 47 interviews at the Combine. And I was right. We did 59 in 4 days.
Wow.
And it was exhausting. We played a clip of one of them today. And I was asking a question to Zach Taylor about their apparent desire to keep their three disgruntled veterans in place, yeah, including Trey Hendrickson, who now has permission to seek a trade. I couldn't even remember that moment. I couldn't remember asking that question. Like, is that even me? So it all just kind of blurred together, but it was fun. But again, sorry I missed you last week. Was looking forward to talking to you, but we're talking now.
All right, Mike McDaniel, always entertaining. I can tell you guys have a darn good relationship with him. Just curious, because we played a lot of it from the interview with some of your questions. What did you think overall about what Mike had to say? You think he feels like he's on the hot seat? I know he's excited about coming back and Chris and trying to get this thing fixed up.
Well, the Dolphins strike me right now as a team that understands where the flaws are, but I'm not sure they have the plan or even the will to fix them. Like, instead of doing something different, let's keep doing what we've been doing even harder. And I don't know that that's going to fix it. When you have the call coming from inside the house that there's an issue with softness on the defense when you play outside in Green Bay on Thanksgiving night, that becomes an alarm. And Mike McDaniel has said multiple times that narratives are narratives because they're earned. They're not just kind of random. You know, cliches become cliches because the underlying statement is true. So they recognize that. I just don't know if they know what to do about it. You know, one of the storylines in the aftermath of the Super Bowl, Vic Fangio goes up to Philadelphia and whips up that defense into a championship unit. And it was last year that you had Dolphins players that didn't like the guy. And why didn't they like him? Is he too hard on him? And do you need guys in the locker room who are going to deal with tough coaching, respond better to adversity, And I just never get the idea. And maybe they're just being discreet. Maybe they don't want to call players out. Maybe they are dealing with this in a way that's going to make things better. But that seems to be the – and it's not just Achilles' heel. I mean, it's the whole leg. It's just a problem. But that's the thing that's keeping the Dolphins from being competitive in the postseason and last year even getting to the postseason.
Mike, we talk about this a lot with Mike McDaniel, who everybody likes, and I know the media likes him down here and everything else, but how do you handle Tyreek Hill on the field, off the field, late for meetings, and all the things that happen? You put up with it when a guy is maybe the best player in football, one of the best, and goes for almost 1,800 yards in receptions and ton of touchdowns and is a big part of your offense. But when he doesn't play well and you get to see, or he doesn't get his numbers and you get to see a little different side of him with all the stuff you got towards the end of the season, how does Mike handle all that stuff?
Well, he'd prefer to handle it all behind the scenes, but that may be difficult to do. They've at least gotten the situation under control for now, but this is a brush fire that can start up again at any point, especially if they get off to a rough start in the 2025 season. And this is what you have to deal with when you have a player like Tyreek Hill. He's the best player on the team, but he can be a little temperamental. He can be a little difficult. We learned after the trade that sent him from the Chiefs to the Dolphins that there were plenty of concerns behind the scenes that the Chiefs managed to keep from boiling over. And in hindsight, after everything that came out, and you look back at what was going on in 2021, you had Cooper Kupp putting together a historic season statistically. I remember thinking, and I remember the moment the light bulb went off, it's like, I think Tyreek, even though Tyreek Hill had career-high targets in 2021, I bet he was telling anybody who would listen, if Cooper Kupp can do this, I can too. I want more. I want more. I want 2,000 yards. I want this. I want that. And he also wanted money. And it all just kind of fell together in a way that the Chiefs decided, we're going to move away from this guy instead of giving him another new contract, and we're going to see what we can do. And, it's, you know, for the most part, it's worked. They still lack a Tyreek Hill, and that's what the Dolphins have to ask themselves. Are they willing to go forward without the element that Tyreek Hill brings to the offense? But you're right. The moment there's slippage on the high-end skills, that's the moment that Antonio Brown got run out of Pittsburgh. The moment they saw slippage, we're done dealing with this guy.
Yeah. Well, listen, you think Mike and Chris feel a hot seat a little bit that this could be it? Do you sense that at all?
I don't know how you couldn't. I mean, if you have self-awareness, objectivity, and common sense, and if you're just inclined to worry about stuff, that's why I'd never survive in a job like that. I admire the mindset. The moment you take that job, the clock starts ticking on when you're going to be fired from that job.
That's right.
Not many guys get to walk away. And you have to suffer through these entire years of, man, this could be it. This could be it. This could be my last offseason program. This could be my last training camp. I may have to be looking for a house. You got to deal with a lot of uncertainty. And if you're somebody that worries about everything, that makes for a very rough existence. But I think that if they have basic common sense, and I believe they do, if they have basic self-awareness, and I think they do, they recognize that the fuse is getting a little closer to the bomb here. And, you know, it's part of the life. It's part of the love of football, the intense love of football and the desire to be part of it causes people to welcome circumstances that most of us would say, I don't want that in my life. I don't want to have to worry about, especially when it comes down to things I can't control. It's a bounce of the ball here or there. It's a bad call here, a good call there, a gust of wind here, a blast of Arctic air there that determines your fate. And that's really what it is. It's fate. You can control some of it, but at the end of the day, the things that make the ultimate difference, you don't control.
There's a bunch of great storylines, and you just mentioned one with Trey Hendrickson and T. Higgins and Jamar Chase, and knowing the Brown family is super tight with the money. I don't know how they're going to get this done. Now Trey Hendrickson wants to be traded. I don't know if you're trying to win right now, how the hell you would trade that guy. 35 sacks or whatever it is over the last 2 years. You think he gets all three of those guys signed, or how's this thing end up this year?
I think that there's a pretty clear connection between Max Crosby getting a $35.5 million new money deal from the Raiders on Wednesday and Hendrickson receiving permission from the Bengals to seek a trade on Thursday. And that's the Bengals throwing in the towel. And it's probably a paper towel because, as you said, they are a little frugal with the money. They had been trying to get all three, Higgins, Chase, and Hendrickson, signed. But I feel like that they were going through the motions to placate Joe Burrow. That's really the heart of this. They don't want Joe Burrow to show up one day and say to Mike Brown what Carson Palmer did in 2011. And 8 years after Carson Palmer decided he was done with the Bengals, he said publicly, if ownership cares more about money than winning, you don't have a chance. And that's why he wanted out. And yes, the Bengals have committed financially to Joe Burrow, but you can't play these games elsewhere on the roster where, and I'll give you an example. When Jesse Bates, the great safety who signed with the Falcons, when his rookie contract ended, did they sign him to a new deal? No, they used the franchise tag, and they tried to draft his replacement in Dax Hill. Didn't work out. T. Higgins, franchise tag last year. What do? They use a day two draft pick on Jermaine Burton. Hasn't worked out. It doesn't work that way. You don't just plug and play to replace great players. You might get lucky, but it doesn't work that way. You keep the great players you have. You reward the guys who have done everything that's asked of them, who have shown up and performed well. That sends a great message to the rest of the young players in the locker room that if you do everything that's expected of you, we'll find a way to keep you here. And that's the deeper dance. The Bengals are trying to make the case to Burrow that they're doing everything they can to keep these guys, but they've already thrown their hands in the air on Trey Hendrickson, probably because Hendrickson said, I want the Max Crosby deal. Now, I don't know that, but the Crosby deal was something close to it. Whatever it was, the Bengals decided yesterday, we're done with this facade of we're trying to sign Trey Hendrickson. We are never going to get beyond an impasse, so let's trade him instead of signing.
Mike, this next topic never goes away, man, the Aaron Rodgers topic, and now we're kind of getting a feel for everything, and Sam Darnold, of course, out there too as a free agent quarterback. I think friggin' Aaron Rodgers is going to land on his feet again and get a starting job somewhere to start the season. Do you agree with that?
The most interesting story of Combine Week that made its way to my ears, other than the thriller in vanilla between Ian Rappaport and Jordan Schultz, was when I was told early in the week, before the Matthew Stafford situation was resolved, that Aaron Rodgers' camp had reached out to the New York Giants. Because when you consider that Rodgers wants to play for a good team, why would he want to play for the Giants? They're not objectively good. And it tells me that he's not getting the interest that he hoped to get from contending competitive teams. And the Giants right now, I think, continue to be at the top of the list. I don't know who else wants him. I'm surprised the Steelers don't. Apparently they don't. I don't think the Raiders want him. When you hear the names that are their plan B now that Stafford stayed with the Rams, because the Raiders made a big push to try to get him. Those names include Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Sam Darnold, not Aaron Rodgers. But I just think that, you know, the Giants have a tough balance. And this is something that flows from the basic dysfunction at the top of a franchise. He probably should have cleaned house. John Mara probably should have cleaned house. But he's stung by his reputation for being too quick to clean house. So he keeps Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. But then he says right after the word comes out that they're staying, I've just about run out of patience. So what are Shane and Daboll going to do? Are they going to say, hey, we should trade up and draft Cam Ward and build for the future? Hell no. The owner's just about run out of patience. Right. We got to go get Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it creates skewed motivations for what you're doing as it relates to building a team. And the Giants have a very real incentive, as far as Shane and Daboll are concerned, to build a team that can get to the playoffs this year, and to hell with 2026 or 2027. Whereas the long-term interests are, let's find an answer at the position who will be here for 10 years, not a guy who's going to be here for maybe 2 years at the absolute most in Aaron Rodgers. So it's just so weird. And we look at the betting odds for a lot of these things just to see what people are thinking. The Giants are the co-favorites to exercise the first overall pick in the draft, and they're the favorites to sign Aaron Rodgers. I doubt that both are going to be true, but it's pretty clear to people that they're definitely going to do one or the other. They're going to get Cam Ward with the first pick, trading up by two spots, or they're going to sign Aaron Rodgers.
Man, real quickly, too, Sam Darnold, closer to a Baker Mayfield contract, or does he get go in the 50 plus club a year?
No way he's going in the 50 plus club. No way. I'd be stunned if that happens, because if the Vikings thought that there was a market like that for him, I think they would have tried to tag and trade him, because to tag him is only $40 million. I think the concern is that Sam Darnold won't be able to duplicate what he did last year. You know, last year wasn't his rookie season. Last year was the first good season he's had after plenty of not good seasons.
Right.
So the question is, can you duplicate it? Hey, Joe, I'm not even sure he can duplicate it in Minnesota if J.J. McCarthy's there. Because if you go out and lay a couple of eggs like Darnold did middle of the season against Jacksonville and Tennessee, you're getting benched.
Yep.
You're getting benched. They didn't have anyone to bench him with last year. Nick Mullins was plan B. And in the postseason, one of the reasons Daniel Jones gave up a two-month head start on free agency and took a roster spot for the playoff game against the Rams, there was a belief that if they had advanced and Darnold hadn't played great, they could have switched to Jones in the divisional round. So I think that Darnold is not going to get a massive offer. And I think at the end of the day, what's going to happen potentially, he's going to see what else is out there. He's going to realize none of these other teams have Kevin O'Connell as the head coach or the group of receivers the Vikings have. Whatever the Vikings have budgeted as a number for Sam Darnold, he might come back and say, I want that. And the Vikings are going to have to decide between Darnold and J.J. McCarthy. And I don't know what they're going to do, but if they commit to Darnold for more than 1 year, I think the next step is going to be J.J. McCarthy wants out. So they need to be prepared to choose between one of these two guys right now. Permanent choice, not kick the can, especially if they're thinking about a two-year deal with Sam Darnold. I don't think McCarthy is going to accept the Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love approach of sitting on the bench for 3 years before he gets a chance to play.
Mike, I can't wait, man, this weekend with all the trade talk and all the other guys want out and the free agents. It's going to be a lot of fun. Mike, thank you so much, man. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Joe. See you, buddy.
All right, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. Hey, we got more stuff coming up here. Omar Kelly is going to join us to talk about the Miami Dolphins, free agency, and who might be coming to South Florida. That's next.
I don't know about you. I watch way too much Combine. Enjoy watching it all weekend. I went Kim Bocamp and I had dinner. We were laughing about how much Combine. Just seeing University of Miami from the Senior Bowl, the East-West games, if you're following all that stuff, great PR for the University of Miami and where the program has come to, because that's what it's supposed to look like. 10 wins last season. 7 the year before, 5, and the slow development is really picking up right now. First undefeated season at home since 2002. Some of these numbers are unbelievable. All the combine invites, honestly, we were talking, there should have been some more. Anyway, a lot of good things going on and some really good recruiting classes that I think we're all looking forward to watching. The development is now, I bring in Mario Cristobal with all the good stuff, man, after everything. I just think what's taking place with the combine, everything right now with all the University of Miami guys getting after it, has been great.
Good morning, Joe.
Yeah, I got ahead of myself. Sorry about that, Mario. How you doing?
We're going to test you today. Vertical, broad jump, 40, the whole bit.
I can help you. 7'6" in the 40, 2-inch credit card jump underneath for the standing high jump. That should really
short
get
yards and goal line. There's
yeah. Oh
a place
no, I
for
get
that, right?
Knocked back and be on IR. You wouldn't want that. That wouldn't work. Hey, so here we go, mm-hmm. And so much to talk about. The health of Carson Beck to start with. Coming, I know it, getting close with the elbow. Expect him here for spring, or just get ready for the summer camp.
No, we expect some type of action towards the latter part of spring ball. You know, we've had 7 weeks of off-season training, conditioning, lifting and whatnot. So it's a little bit more than the usual. It's been good for our team. Guys like that are on the mend actually get an extra week as well. So we do expect something, you know, be able to do some things. We're already able to hand the football off and stuff like that and go through the motions, but actually slinging it will take a couple more weeks and we'll see where we're at.
Before we get into everything, I threw out some numbers there. You told me when you got here, just a little patient. We're going to get this thing flipped around, and it's starting to look like your vision.
You know, it's where every year we get better and better and closer and closer. We always thought that your combine results, your draft results are directly proportional to your season success, right? The more NFL caliber players you have, the more you develop your schemes, the more you develop as a program, and the more you attract great players. And that'll be reflected in the season. So more and more progress. Excited about the guys that are in the program now that have been here too, and now it's our first class is going on their third year, to put in perspective. They're true juniors or redshirt sophomores. So it's taken more and more of the type of face and look of what we always envisioned. So it's full throttle, right? We're in the middle of both spring football and spring recruiting, because the contact period does open up today. So you'll see a ton of not only really good football players on the field today, you'll see a lot of prospects on the sideline.
Wow. Okay, so got to start with Cam Ward, because all of a sudden Cam Ward is of the story of the National Football League. Unbelievable. From Washington State, got his grade in the NFL, didn't like where he thought he was going to get drafted, wherever that was going to be. Says, Mario, I'm coming, and now has the greatest year in the history of University of Miami football, passing, throwing the ball, and now he could be the first overall pick. Any vision of that when you got him for a year? And you've been saying nice things about him. I'm sure every NFL team's at. What do you tell NFL teams about Cam Ward on this big debate on just how good he is and if he should be the first overall pick?
Well, you tell them the truth. I mean, it's no different than talking about some of the other guys we've had in the past. The guy changes things, and he changes and affects the people around him. His impact is strong. He certainly has elevated the profile of our university and our program to where it's all of a sudden the viewership is back to the tops in the conference, right? And it was a perfect combination. I mean, he spent most of his career earlier running for his life, right? And he was playing from behind. Offensive line-wise, there were some issues, you know, which caused some turnovers or whatnot. Now you couple a guy like that with a really good offensive line and some skilled players, and all of a sudden everything takes off, his career and the people around them as well. So, again, it's another indication of the pieces coming together and how it all fits, right? And certainly Cam is one of one. His leadership capabilities, his alpha mentality and demeanor, he is going to lead a franchise to a championship. So we're excited for him and his future.
All right, so defensively, got some new coaches that we're going to get a chance to see Corey Heatherman take over the defense. Damian Lewis is back with you. And then the secondary, a couple of new coaches as well, and a lot of new players in the transfer, as well as a class that you recruited.
Yeah, it's some four straight alpha dogs and the guys that we hired. I mean, very reminiscent of, you know, I was here as a graduate assistant when I went and picked up Greg Schiano at the airport for his interview. He was a Nichols coach for the Chicago Bears. And Coach Heatherman was, you know, not only was he a coordinator at JMU, he also coached with Coach Schiano up at Rutgers. And he really plays to the strengths of his roster. And he's a guy that galvanizes people. And he brings the right kind of edge, the one that involves teaching, the one that involves connecting. And he involves his staff a bunch. And he has really good answers, right? The strengths of our team are found right now in the front seven. We loaded up on the back end as well, so we could do things on the back end from a multiplicity standpoint that are really going to help us. Very versatile back there. So Coach Heatherman, Coach Damian Lewis, I mean, he coaches like he played, just flat-out dog.
Right.
And then you look at a guy like Will Harris, who I had the benefit of watching out on the West Coast, phenomenal secondary coach, great player at USC, as well as Coach Etheridge, who was a great player at Auburn and who just did some unbelievable stuff in terms of recruiting, in terms of developing players. He just, again, the guys that we feel could make an impact because they get it as it relates to work. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, we grind. We love to grind. There's no bitching. There's no moaning. These guys get after it. They know the expectation, and they recognize the caliber of football that Miami is starting to play.
Would you like to see things more simplified in the secondary, more aggressive? Constantly, obviously, you want everybody – on the same page, all 11 guys, so you don't have mental breakdowns and stuff. But what would you like to see improve? What part of it?
Well, the simplicity lies in the form of communication and alignment. Okay. It's that. I mean, if you look at us, it wasn't until one particular game where people ran by us. It was more they were running around us or confusing us. And that comes in the form of recognition and communication.
Right.
And instead of practicing against plays, I think what you're going to see Coach Heatherman do is really practice our scheme and the answers that we have within our scheme, and also what are the deficiencies of each call, right? Because it gives you a chance to rally to the football and get somebody on the ground, which I think we were lacking in. And I think what you're going to see today also, you're going to see 11 hats running to the ball because that's at the forefront. I mean, the ball is the program, taking it away and protecting it respectively on each side of the ball. But you're going to see a very aggressive upfield mentality and physicality in our defense.
Mario, we talk every year. I talk to you about this, and your recruiting class is, well, I got about half the guys in. You got all but one guy in here from your recruit, guys that should still be in high school that wanted to be here for spring football. And I think it was a Columbus safety, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And that's because Columbus, you can't graduate early. Yeah. Your school.
That's true. Yeah, I got to go talk to them. You know what I mean? But, yeah, we've got – I mean, in college football now, every year, it's almost like you're coaching a one-year team, right? There's such turnover. It's becoming
about that. That's a radio topic, right? One-year free agency.
It's a one-year team, and then you're going to see some more turnover after spring ball all over the country. And you really don't change your style of coaching. You present every single player with the opportunity to grow, to develop technique fundamentally as a person within the scheme and making sure that everybody gets an opportunity to show how they can help the team win and how they can better themselves as a player. So it's full throttle in terms of connecting, and it's full throttle in terms of competing and making sure that it's clear to everyone that spring football here is a real thing. Spring football is our opportunity to get better and more physical as a football team.
You said this when you took over and the transfer portal exploded. You said, hey, this thing's still got to be about high school recruiting. It's still got to be about high school recruiting. You said something really interesting. You said, even if I don't finish number one, if I finish number two, they can always come home and play. And you've stuck with that throughout, where people – listen, transfer portal is obviously important and very expensive, I'm sure. But you had two great recruiting classes. I think everybody's really looking forward to seeing the growth of some of the young guys.
Without a doubt. I mean, at the end of the day, it's still going to be the lifeblood of the program, right? The way that your high school relationships and the players that you bring in. Because if you look at the teams that are continuing to push further and further into the offseason, they're very junior and senior laden, right? And you'd like for those junior and senior laden guys to have at least a strong contingent of your program to be guys that were there from the beginning. But again, the guys that, to our portal guys, the guys that have come here have had tremendous success. So
you had a great transfer portal, you would say, overall.
Without a doubt.
Grades for last year.
Absolutely. Those guys have done well. They did well in the season. They did well at the combine. They're going to get drafted. So overall, both the high school contingent and the portal contingent, they see tremendous development and success at Miami, and they see the trajectory. So for us, it's all just a positive and just keep working our tails off.
All right, now can I be selfish since it's my show?
Always.
In the morning. Yes. I want to talk about some guys I'm really looking forward to seeing the big jump. Armando Blunt,
without a doubt, complete. Just you're gonna love watching him play. Yeah. He's about 260.
Wow!
Right now he just turned. Is he 18 now or 19?
He's really young when he came in because he had like an extra year of high school if he wanted.
He's really young. He's really violent. You know, on the football field, he's very physical, very explosive. He's a guy. He's a motor that just doesn't stop. You're gonna enjoy him.
Justin Scott. Everybody's been talking about it's got to be a big jump for him at defensive tackle.
305 pounds, has changed his body through the strength and conditioning program, and you're going to see a guy that now is, because of his athletic ability combined with his power, tremendous impact inside.
I don't know much because this, I got to throw this name out, but I know a heavily recruited Artavius Jones.
Monster weight room guy who is transitioning that to the football field. Got a little banged up early. Nothing bad, just soft tissue stuff. So he's coming along. He might be a little bit limited today, but towards the end of the week and after spring break, he's going to be full go.
And then Patterson at safety, who did play some last year. We were out here with you last year, and he's making plays all over the place.
Will be limited during spring. All right, he's got an injury he's overcoming, but nothing serious. He will be ready for the end of spring ball and certainly the season.
All right, so the tight end position, wide receiver position, a lot of the top guys are pro or a couple have taken off, but that's going to be fun to watch. That's what I think spring football is for, is the development and like, hey, guys, there is a transfer portal out there, but sure would like to see what you guys can do. So it's a great evaluation for you.
Well, we saw a lot of it last year. It just so happens that the guys that were freshmen last year were sitting behind some seniors that had a lot of production and guys that waited their turn as well. You know, if you look back, I mean, it was just 3 years ago, the guys like Restrepo, Jacoby George,
right,
Elijah Royal were either injured or backing up and starting to find their way. And they were really good mentors for these young guys. But you have really explosive, young, talented players that have gotten a lot of reps. And the way we run practice in the offseason, you get a ton of reps.
Yeah, and so tight end position, too, obviously important to you. You brought in through the transfer portal as well as some recruits. How much of these guys, before you get in all these positions, you've seen them last 5 or 6 weeks, they've been working out. And then this jump for spring football really is going to get some guys a chance to play in summer, won't it, when this thing kicks off?
Without a doubt. And the coaches, they have the directive. It's get everybody ready to play. Everybody's got to be capable of helping us play winning football, right? Because if you look at us last year, you know what? Going into the year, we were thin at the secondary, but we had good frontline players. And when we got banged up, it didn't show up so well, and we started doing all kinds of stuff to try to make up for it, and we got all out of whack, right? So whoever's got to go in there's got to be capable of playing because injuries are coming, right? This isn't like the NFL where you have the waiver wire and you can pick up some dude. So all in all, that's the big – I know I got off on a tangent a little bit, but that's got to be the directive of spring ball. It's don't operate as if anything else except that there's a game on Saturday and we got to get ready for it. And pretend there's no portal to come and save you. Get the guys on the roster ready to play.
JoJo Trader. I get asked about JoJo Trader all the time. Had the great play in the bowl game for a touchdown. Part of his was injury last year, right? I nicked up a little bit, but, man, what a great talent out of Chaminade.
10 pounds heavier, really a special player, special young man, and has had an awesome offseason. We expect big things, and we're going to press and push him and challenge him. Because of what his capabilities are. We expect JoJo to be a great player for us, and he's got to show it every day. Underrated as a blocker. They think, you know, he's not a big guy, like he's a little mosquito or something. That dude went in there and threw his body around in the bowl game.
Yeah.
He's all in all just a tremendous upside, going to be a great player.
So I got to ask you one college football question. I saw something. I see schools are canceling their spring football game because of tampering and poaching. Mm-hmm. Which everybody's complaining. That's the biggest complaint I hear. I never hear you complain about any of that stuff.
Yeah. It's been going on for 125 years. I mean, it's just made public now.
Right.
You know, are you bleeping me? It's been going on forever, and it still goes on. It's going to keep going on. So for us, we're going to do spring as we regularly do. Now, will we shut it off to, like actual live footage and everything else? Yeah, if we're banged up, we may have a form of a spring. We might alter some of the things about it. But, look, at the end of the day, if you don't want to be at Miami, you want to be someplace else, pretty sure I could go find somebody else that wants to be here, is going to play at a high level. So we're not going to approach it with fear or be timid about it or in any way, shape, or form. I mean, hey, if we ask our players to be alpha, we have to do the same thing as coaches. So we're with us, spring football is real and it's full throttle.
You got a quarterback. I was just thinking all the questions everybody's been asking me about, and one of them's your quarterback out of Milton, Georgia. Is it Nichols?
Mm-hmm.
How good is he? And everybody's been raving about him that saw him play. I think they played against American Heritage Plantation in a playoff game, in the warm-up game to start the season.
Yeah, that's a big battle in the locker room. They all say that if Malachi Toney was playing quarterback for Heritage,
yeah,
it might have been a different game.
But yeah.
Luke's a great player and just a very natural leader. But we're very excited about the entire quarterback room because, again, you know, I know it wasn't Emory's best performance in the bowl game, but he has shown a lot throughout his time here that he is a good player. And Judd Anderson is now, he's getting a ton of reps, and he's starting to show what he can do as well. So all in all, we're excited about the quarterback room and the future as well. You know, we certainly are tracking well with some potential prospects there for the 26 and 27 class. So I think all in all, that room and every room in the building continues to just trend upwards.
Yeah, no, with Carson Beck out, what a great opportunity for those guys to get a lot of snaps here in spring football.
Mario, yeah. And every single rep, Carson will be standing behind those guys, taking every single rep, going through all his progressions. It'll be like virtual reality football. You know, he'll do it all except actually sling the ball. So everywhere we could find and steal a cumulative rep, we're going to do that.
It's going to be fun. I know you're a little disappointed the way it ended last year, but you step back and we've had a chance now to see the seeds you've planted and things starting to grow and seeing guys play well at the East-West game. See, at the Senior Bowl was great for a lot of the guys, where the talk of the thing, and then the combine. Hell, there were some guys you should have been at the combine that weren't there. So
just keep getting better and then learn how to finish as a program, you know, which all that stuff is you could talk about it all you want. You could show all the video. You got to work it. You got to grind at it, and you've got to instill belief and resilience in finishing.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a major part of spring ball.
You said this to us last year. I said, man, this looks good. And you say, yeah, we're not done. There's going to be some more transfer portal, and you expect the same then. There'll be some new faces after spring.
You know, expect the unexpected. I mean, we're going to go through spring ball, see where we're at. We really love where we're at in just about most positions, and then we got to see how guys respond. And like you said, you know, you got to be able to respond if there is tampering, you know, going on outside with our players as well. And if there is, you respond to that as well by going to work, not complaining about it, just going to work.
I was going to say, so when you do hear about it, because you hear about every you got people around you, you got a pretty good feel for everything going on from coast to coast. With do you pick the phone up and go, hey, Jerky? And I'm not doing it to you. Why are you doing it to me? Or
come to
you
the parking
just let
lot,
it go?
Man. Let's settle this.
Yeah, right. That's what you like.
Not many parking lots.
I'm not coming out, Mario. That's not going to happen.
Oh, man. You know what? You just never know what's real and what's not. And at the end of the day, it takes two, right?
Yeah.
And there might be outside noise and outside forces trying to, but it also takes a second person, right? So
yeah
I don't think you don't judge that. You don't try to assess it, man. You know what? You go find better and you move on.
Yeah. Exactly. Mario, thank you, man.
Thank you, bro.
Spent some extra time with us.
Appreciate
really
you. Get out there and get some reps today.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to getting steps in and watching the young guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. Spring football starting here at the University of Miami. We're live here in Coral Gables. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. Dude, I got to tell you, man, one of my favorite guys had one of the greatest dinners, Stuart Miller, down in South Beach one night. We told stories, and I've never laughed harder and got to know Ronnie Cicely, the former center, first overall pick in the history of the franchise, Mr. Double-Double himself. Ronnie Cicely joins us this morning. Ron, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Joe. Good to be with you again. Nice to hear you.
Hey, we're still live.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, I tell you a couple stories, and you top my stories, and Stuart Miller, I see him the other day. We still laugh. He says he still gets together with you, and it was great seeing you. At the Heat game the other night, I got to ask you, you had that record of double-doubles, Ronnie, for like ever. What was that like to see Bam finally take that thing down at 222?
I was very happy for him. I think he deserves it. He's a hard worker. You know, rebounding is not it's all about positioning. It's all about getting to the ball, fighting for it. So it takes hard work, perseverance, and Bam has been such an instrumental guy for the Heat as far as doing all the little things, and he deserves it. I mean, it's been holding for 31 years, and I think it's time to pass the torch.
That's a long time to have a record, though, there. I got to tell you, that is a long, long time to have such a important stat of double-doubles every night and rebounds and points. So I got to ask you. I did want to ask you, where hell have you been, man? It's like you pop up. You've been going to very many games.
I haven't been to many games, but I didn't keep track of the 31 years. So I thought, you know,
wow,
between Shaq and Dwayne Wade and Alonzo Mourning and all the amazing players that have played for the Heat, I thought for sure one of those guys had gotten it already. So when Eric Reed called me up, he's like, you know, he's a couple of games away from getting you. I was like, what? That's insane. That's amazing. And so, you know, records are meant to be broken, and that's that. But I still have a couple of other ones that that are going to be out of reach until further notice. I think that that 34 rebound game is that's going on 32 years or maybe.
Yeah, that's
going
to be a hard one to beat. I'm with you. That's going to be. Now, you know what? Go ahead. I love the stats. You do keep track. I love that.
Yeah, well, I got refreshed on all that when all this came up, and then I got the most 2020s as well. So I got that's 20 points and 20 rebounds in the same game, and I have 21 of those. So you know, that could be a little,
that's safe.
Could be a good one.
Let's be honest, that's safe. Yeah, that's not gonna happen. Ronnie, it's so weird today's game
we're seeing a, if you're 7 feet tall or close to it, they want you shooting threes now. Like, you work on your 3-point shot. Is it, what do you think of today's game compared to the game you played in?
Listen, it's two different generations. I don't want to hate on today's game. Like, everybody, you know, like our generation is better or whatever it is. But me as a basketball player, forget as a basketball fan. I just liked basketball when everybody had their own position. So, you know, a point guard was the distributor and the center was the big guy inside, rebounding, back to the basket kind of guy. So, you know, the roles were defined and everybody played a certain game. So you would know who played well, who didn't play well based on the roles that they have. This interchangeable business of the point guard is the center and the center is shooting the threes and stuff like that. It's just like watching street ball. I don't know. It just doesn't have those defined roles where the rivalries can be built based on, you know, just you go back in the day in the 90s when every team had those roles defined and you would go like, you know, you'd see Olajuwon against Patrick and Alonzo against Shaq and Duncan and Robinson and Karl Malone and all these big guys, Mutombo and... You know, I just feel like the game was a lot sexier back then because you knew who was playing against who.
Right.
And now it's just like, you know, the point guard could guard the center on any possession. And I don't know, I just feel it's become like a organized street ball. Three-point shot contest the whole game. Like, I just for me, it looks. I mean, it's just, I can't watch too. I mean, I'll watch the playoffs stuff like that when it gets down. But it's very hard to watch when you're just watching street ball.
Yeah, you drive to the basket and you dish it out to somebody wide open or in a corner or something all the time. And I got to tell you, it drives Ron Rothstein, who's going to join us later in the show, your old coach. It drives him nuts. He got to bite his tongue about half the time because you know he hates today's game compared to the things and the way you guys played for sure.
I mean, it's just also, I mean, the difference in the game is, you know, back then it was just so much more physical and it was just a game where, you know, the team that showed up and played defense and played hard was the team that's gonna, you know, it's pretty much gonna win. But in today's game, it's who, you know, whoever makes that extra pass and makes that 3-point shot. And I don't know. I think that they gotta meet back halfway somewhere. It's like politics. We've just gone all left or all right. How about we meet halfway and get a big guy down on the block with his back to the basket, the classic big man. And he can get double teamed and triple teamed, and then you can make the ball, you know, pass the ball out from there, make the extra pass, and then make a shot. Or, you know, I'm not a coach by any means, and I'm not trying to play one, but I prefer that double team coming into the post and the movements and the physicality of the game. And, you know, you got to earn everything instead of just like kind of a couple pick and rolls and shoot a three.
I think you speak on behalf of a lot of fans. It's kind of refreshing to come from a former NBA player that they kind of want their old NBA game back. Everybody, you know, it's weird now. You look at a box score and you'll see more than half the shots and a lot of nights are 3-point shots. Like, you're just – and if you're cold that night, you're losing by 20, 25 points. You got no shot. You're taking so many.
Yes, I agree. And I think it's going to take that one coach. It's going to take that, you know, that team to a championship team, to a championship kind of series. And, you know, because everybody wants to follow the model of what team has won what. So Golden State started this thing. And – and I feel like, you know, like it's time for another team. Like I would love to see Philly with Joel Embiid and, you know, Joel Embiid just parking his ass in the paint and right. Going back, it was back to the basket and just drawing guys inside. Why is he out there shooting threes? I have no idea. Like, he could be so much more dominating, taking people inside. But I think it's just the game's changed. The players don't want that kind of pounding on a night on a nightly basis. I just think they don't, you know, they'd rather kind of not go with the physicality.
Yeah. Hey, so I got to get caught up, man. I just So are you living in South Florida? Are you back here, or are you still traveling a lot?
I live here. This is my home, but I do travel a lot.
Yeah. Did you settle down on me again, or are you? How are you doing? Are you?
I was talking about
relationships. Just between me and you. Yeah, just me and you. Yeah.
You know what? I got tired of paying out millions of dollars to all these women that I can't make happy. So, but now I'm
That's
running
honest.
Single.
Yeah. Hey, are you still DJing? Are you still doing that stuff at all? That was a great
I'm still doing it all, man. I'm still doing it all. I live life to the fullest, and I want to enjoy everything I can whenever I can. And age is nothing but a number to me. And if I can do things, I still play sports every day. I still compete in sports, and DJ is my passion. And as long as I can do that, and I'm getting booked worldwide, so I can't complain. I've been very, very blessed in my life.
Yeah.
I've had three major careers, and at the highest end, I've been super successful in pretty much all the fields except relationships. I always pick the wrong people.
Yeah.
And somehow they're never grateful, thankful, even though they get paid millions of dollars from me. And I have no idea. I got to figure that one out. So.
Hey, Ronnie, I got a lot of friends. We're all trying to figure that one out. Hey, Ronnie, this has been great, man. It's so good talking to you. Stuart Miller's laughing somewhere right now, cracking up, man, as he's hearing about this. This sounds like a dinner right here, man. It's great having you, Ryan. I really appreciate it, man.
Thank
Congratulations,
you,
man, all the things you've done here and those numbers, and some of those, like you said, are never going to be broken. Great stuff.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you so much. And congratulations to Bam. I just want to make sure that he's congratulated.
Absolutely. Great guy.
Team.
Love the way he plays.
Great. Thank you, Joe.
All right. Ronnie Cicely, former center for the Miami Heat. What do you do right there? You just, how you doing to ladies? He does great. He does great. Oh, man. All right. Hey, listen, man. Now you get an idea what that dinner was like? Just a little feel for that dinner? Anyway, hey, listen, we got more stuff to get to here this morning here on the 8 o'clock hour. Pete Prisco, CBS Sports senior NFL columnist, going to join us. We got free agency right around the corner. Got a lot more stuff to get to. Ron Rothstein going to join us a little bit later on as well. Right now, I want to tell you about Atlantic Men's Clinic, ED and low T. Man, I got to tell you, nothing more frustrating when it hits. And it's going to hit everybody sooner or later. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what kind of shape. Doesn't matter what color you are, sooner or later, everybody gets hit with low T, and usually ED follows. And when it happens, what are you going to do about it? You're going to be tired their whole life and grumpy? That grumpy old man with no sex drive? Gone? Making excuses? You even got your wife and girlfriend making excuses for you? I got rid of it, man. I had it all. In Atlantic Men's Clinic, I went down there. I wasn't even excited about going. Somebody said, come on, go down there, just meet with them. And it was impressive, man. Got my testing done, the T, the PSA test at Atlantic Men's Clinic. Got that done, met with their professionals. They explained everything, and I now realize every man, starting about 40 on, sooner or later, it happens to every man. So you can laugh. Buddy tells you I got ED and low T. They might laugh, but they probably have it too. And if they don't, they will real soon. Call 877-455-7300. 877-455-7300. Atlantic Men's Clinic works. I promise you, get that first appointment set up and make some changes today. Go to AtlanticMen'sClinic.com for more information.